It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM, American Public Media. I'm John Moe. Google is being investigated by at least three states and has been subpoenaed by the Federal Trade Commission. At issue is the company's power. Google has captured around 65% of the search market in the U.S. Eli Pariser is concerned that Google is not behaving responsibly when it comes to search results. He's the author of the new book, The Filter Bubble: What the Internet is Hiding from You. Eli, Google is known for personalizing search results. How does personalization work?
Companies collect an enormous amount of data on each of us, and they try to correlate it together to figure out what the patterns are so that they can predict which things you're the most likely to click on. So on Google, that means that we don't all see the same Google anymore.
And what's that based on?
Well, it's based on a huge number of variables. What kind of computer we're on, what kind of person we are, what our web history is, what we've been searching for in the past, and what kind of people we're like. There's sort of this birds of a feather phenomenon where Google's trying to place us in clusters and then look at what those other people clicked on if it doesn't know what we're likely to click on. You know, we're sort of used to thinking of Google with this idea that it's sort of the whole web voting on which website best answers the question that's being posed. Now that's being mixed with sort of what's your own personal truth, not what is the truth.
So what kind of things are we missing out on?
Because it's just focused on what you click first, there's a lot of things you miss on. You know, what you click first may not be the most valuable information. It's just the most kind of tantalizing thing with the best headline. And that means both it's more likely to be things that reflect our own views, and it's, you know, not likely to be things that are a downer or that are complicated. It'll tend to be the stuff with a sort of catchy, simple hook in it.
How do you search for stuff online?
If it's an important query, you know, and I want to kind of get out of this bubble, either I'll use an incognito window, which dials down the personalization somewhat, although it doesn't reduce it entirely, or I'll also look in Bing. But, you know, there isn't a very sophisticated way to manipulate this information. I'd love to have a slider at the top of Google that allows me to go from search results for people very much like me to search results for people entirely different from me.
Google has been rolling out instant results that show up and even start to load before you're done typing what you're looking for. What do you think about that?
You know, at times that can be useful, but at times it's like someone who's finishing your sentence and it's actually going to push results toward a kind of standardization. The bigger picture is this is all part of sort of a push toward what Google calls search without search. And this is really kind of the holy grail is, could we anticipate what you are going to search for even before you come to Google? And I think when we move closer and closer to that, we have to remember that we're giving up control, and that control may not be used always in our own best interest, that Google has other people that it's trying to please as well, like advertisers.
Eli Pariser is author of The Filter Bubble. You can hear more of my conversation with him at marketplacetech.org. They've trained a robot to be clumsy. His name is Paul. There have been a lot of advancements in robotics technology recently, to the point where a machine can now produce highly realistic drawings of a face or a building or whatever you want. Engineer and artist Patrick Tressett wanted to build a robot artist with more soul by making it flawed. He outfitted Paul with older machinery and programmed it to mimic his own off-kilter drawing style. We have video of Paul the robot drawing a face at marketplacetech.org. You should go see it. It starts pretty clear, and it turns out Paul's sort of a pointillist, but then it gets confused and it gets all messy. It's sweet, and it's somehow comforting that in a world of robots that are getting more precise and capable all the time, there's still room for clumsiness. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.